Experienced political reporter and now host of CNN's State of the Union, Candy Crowley has drawn a choice assignment. The network's chief political correspondent will moderate the second presidential debate on October 16th. As so much of the campaign has so far been driven by atmospherics and reactions to allegations and missteps, the debates will be the first tangible comparison test for voters, and Crowley's debate is open. It does not come with a theme, and as such, we'll start right in on the headlines, as Crowley says.
Our debate can be anything. And so, by that I mean either domestic or foreign policy. The first debate is structured to be domestic. The second debate is a town hall mine, which it could be either. And then the last debate is structured to be about foreign policy. So we can do anything. And yes, I work with those folks that are coming with questions. I work with them because we don't want 12 questions that are the same,
right,
and you
want
to move it forward. And so much depends on what was said in the first debate and what's been said between the first debate and the second debate. And hopefully, and I think the way, and I don't want to speak for the Presidential Debate Commission, but I think the way they hope it works is that each debate builds on the other, that it's not a repetition, that it's not, you know, a clash of debates. It is a one debate building on the other.
Don't you feel like you're opening yourself up? I mean, you know, it's not just the voters are going to be watching. It's Saturday Night Live that's
right.
Going to be watching. I mean, you're going to be material. I mean, you could stutter and end up in a skit on Saturday, right?
I know. Here is the real truth. I can't pay attention. Why? Because, you know, people say, oh, this doesn't bother me and that doesn't bother me. And yes, I think this was funny. And no, it doesn't. You know, it's just great that they mention your name. It does bother me. So I don't I have to remove myself from that part of the job. You know, I have folks around me that can give me honest criticism and, you know, that aren't looking to, you know, do a Saturday Night Live skit or et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I get it. I just want to, again, I want people to come away from the debate thinking I learned something. It was substantive. It was interesting. That's what I can do. And I try not to worry about the Saturday Night Live, which I love, by the way. Writers, I mean, they're great. You know, they're great.
Well, if you do get into a Saturday Night Live skit, it'll certainly get your son's attention. That's for sure. You know, you're
exactly.
you're a role model for women. A couple of women who we spoke with on the program feel that they're sort of responsible for getting a woman moderator over in Montclair High School. Elena Semberis is one of three young women who started that change.org petition. And here is what she says is important about having a woman moderator. It's an interesting idea, and I wonder what your reaction should be. Listen.
It's just important for young people in America to see women and men both active in the political realm. But, I mean, when it comes to moderating a debate, there are definitely topics like reproductive choice that it's only fair a woman addresses.
Now, Elena thinks that only a woman can ask a responsible question about reproductive choice. You have a very long career here in journalism. What do you think about that idea?
First of all, let me say that I agree with her that it's important. And I may not have known that when I first, you know, when they first called me, I reacted as a journalist. I mean, I've been a female all my life. And so my first reaction to stuff isn't about, oh, I'm a girl, and I wasn't quite aware of the 20-year gap and all of that. So I think I have found over the course of time since I found out about it and since they announced it that it is important, and not just to young women, interestingly. I've had older women approach me and say, I'm so excited, and hug me and this and that. So I totally I see that in a way I didn't see it before, that it's in optics matter. Even if I ask the exact same questions, and I won't, that Bob Schieffer does or that Jim Lehrer does or, by the way, that Martha Raddatz does, the optics of having someone up there who's female matters. And I'm not sure I actually knew the extent of that before. As to the, you know, only women can ask reproductive, I think men are just as interested in whether they have a child or not as women. Are all men that way? No. Does it fall primarily on the woman? Yes, obviously, because we have the babies, and I've had the babies. So yes, I think that. Do I think that if there is a burning question about reproductive rights that is not the answer, has not been available readily anywhere else, I'm not sure that the Schieffer wouldn't ask it. But I do think, and the people ask me all the time, is that, do you think you'll ask different questions because you're a woman? And I always say, sure. And I'll ask different questions because I was born and raised in the Midwest, and I'll ask different questions because, you know, I had a brother in Vietnam, and I had one who died of cancer, and I have another whose business is really struggling in this economy, and I have a son who's a doctor, and I have a... So we all bring a prism to the table. And part of my prism is that I'm female, and yes, I agree that therefore that part will make the overall picture different. But I think, you know, that Martha brings different things to the table that I don't bring. I mean, and we all bring the 20, 25 years, however many years of experience of talking to people about their lives and their experience and what it is that matters to them. And so you bring who you are to the table, and I think that affects how and even what to a certain extent you ask, but you bring, and one of the things that I bring to the table is that I'm female.
Sure. Before we go, I got to ask you this question, and I hope I phrase it right here. I just want to say, first of all, your success in television is something that, you know, a lot of us are cheering for, totally. And you are so at the top of your game, and it's, you know, congratulations and all that. And, you know, I can say what I want about CNN versus the networks and all that sort of thing and, you know, the mistakes that we make as journalists. I'm just wondering, in the whole TV period that you grew up in and you've lived through and you've survived, did you ever think to yourself that as a woman, you know, at the age that you are and, you know, with the looks that you have, that you were going to be passed by for the kind of blow-dried sort of ultra beauty look that television seemed to be adopting uniformly, and that there wouldn't be a place for the Candy Crowleys of the world, but you found one anyway?
I think that every day. But here's what I tell people all the time, especially young people, and I always worry about that, and that's the truth from the day I started to this moment. But in my more clarifying moments, I say to high schoolers, to women, to men, to young boys, to young girls, no matter what you choose to do, be so good they can't ignore you. And I just keep trying to be good and hope they won't ignore me. So that's, you know, I mean, it's as simple as that. It really is.
Well, Candy Crowley, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Candy Crowley is chief political correspondent for CNN and the presidential debate moderator. We spoke with her from Washington, D.C.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.